Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Penguin Highway, which was a random choice. But before that, Actually, honestly, it was really quick. We just mainly talked about our recording schedule, what we're going to be doing for the next the next 5-6 recordings. A little bit, kind of a preview on it and what our schedules are looking like, and just kind of powering through everything, honestly. If you want to catch a part of that water conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or if you choose to support us through other means, we do have the affiliate link for you for this week's choice, which is Penguin Highway, available to you. Clicking on that link, going to Right Stuff Anime, purchasing something using that affiliate link, we do get a little bit of a kickback, and it is very much appreciated. It helps us grow and lets us know that you do like what we're putting out there. Or if you choose to buy your own Swinky Swag and support us directly with our merch that we put out there ourselves, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com as well. And of course, you can go to featuredanimepodcast.com for all that links and information, contact forms, and all that wonderful stuff. And now, onto the meat and bro-tatoes. Penguin Highway came out in August 2018. It is a movie. It is based off of a novel. It ran for 1 hour 58 minutes. Producers for it are Dentsu, Fuji TV, Toho. Just to name a couple, the studio for it is Studio Colorido, and the genres for it are fantasy, mystery, and sci-fi.
I think it covers most of them.
I would hope so. I would feel like it does. I feel like
so
it should.
Did you have any initial remarks on watching the anime, watching this movie?
So can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
How did you watch it? Did you watch it subbed or dubbed?
Both.
I prefer the dialogue and the subs better than the dubs. I'm just saying. Because they changed a fair amount in the dubs.
They did. But I find the main character insufferable in both.
He is insufferable in both. But I can relate to him a little bit more in the subs than I can in the dubs.
Just saying. Really? I thought that his character progression in the dub was far better.
We'll get into why.
we'll get into it. Now, what I will say is, if you watch it in the subs, you do get much, much more information not verbally spoken. And what I mean by that is, in the dubs, like, when you see a sign, it's not translated. In the subs, it is. For instance, in the main character's notepad, he's got a bunch of stuff he writes down very meticulously, very very impressively done for a kid his age. But in the subs, it actually translates everything for you, or at least the most important parts. Whereas in the dubs, you just see what was drawn. So I find that to be a little bit better, personally. That said, think Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, but like less human. That makes sense?
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know if it was on purpose. But the arrogance, the cockiness, the insufferability of having to listen to this kid proclaim how great he is and how meticulous he is and what a great man he's going to be. He just has to wait these originally 3,888 days.
Yeah, 3,888 until he's an adult. And here, you know, so... Like, It's pretty apparent to him that he feels like he has his whole life planned out and he knows what he wants to do, where he's going to go and everything like that, which is, it's not bad. It's not bad to have a mentality like that where you have clear goals for it. Granted, I feel like for him, he's a little ridiculous.
A little? Extremely. I think that's part of his character growth.
It is, but I feel like that has more so to do with, like, I mean, like, his dad seems like he's kind of the same way, you know?
I can see that.
Like very limited methodical. Interaction. Yeah, very, very methodical, yeah. Very, very stuck in particular ways, and you're just, like, kind of like, yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that.
Makes a lot of sense. He loves doing his research, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is exceedingly intelligent beyond his peers, which gives him what I believe to be a very minor God complex. What I found to be most interesting about him is the fact that while he seems to be incredibly smart and sure of himself in his own mind, when he interacts with people he considers not necessarily his betters, but like more knowledgeable than him, all of that kind of goes away, at least on the surface. You know what I mean? He tries to talk to people who he believes his betters are as equals.
Yeah.
For instance, the dentist lady.
Well, it's not that she finds her to be his equal. The dude, he plans on marrying her. That's why he's counting the days until he's an adult. Here's the differences in between the subs and the dubs is in the dubs, he doesn't talk about having a love for the boobas, all right? He doesn't talk about opas, all right?
It's not as pronounced.
It's not even broached, really, in the dubs.
He mentions it.
Barely. In fact,
barely, yes.
Barely. I mean, like, in the subs, he has full-on argument about and defending what his love of them versus the subs. It's like barely glanced at it, and then that's it, right? Which is why I can connect with him, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Any straight man, you know, would always love the boobas.
Any man of culture.
True. A man of man or woman of culture.
Yes. So what in the subs, what I found most pronounced is when you look at his notes, they're all about boob size and trying to do experiments. And he's like, these bowls work, but the ends are wrong. And I need to do more research on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he talks about doing more research on a lot of stuff, though, in general. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but he's specifically, like you said, about 8 or 9 times, full on, hey, what do you think of these boobs? And why, even though they look similar to my mom's boobs, why do I feel differently when I look at these boobs? And then he's playing chess with the dentist lady as an excuse to look at her chest. And she calls him out on it. He goes, I'm looking at the chess board, not your chest. And then he proceeds to beat her when he's trying to learn, supposedly.
Right. Well, and then there's also another person who is also of the same intellect level as he is.
Well, he mentions that she might be smarter.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I say that he meets someone of the same intellect level is because while he may say she's smarter, we're at least able to visually see that they are on the same playing field in that regard.
That makes sense.
She's like, granted, also a gossiper. Yeah, and she also beats him at chess.
Yes, but to be fair, he's still a novice. He's just barely learning.
Yes.
Like, at the beginning of the movie, he doesn't know how to play at all. Hence the lessons from the dentist lady he wants to marry.
Yeah. The basic premise about the story, Iommi, the main male young child protagonist, he's very knowledgeable. He's very intelligent. He's often teased by his classmates as a result of this, but he's also, you know, as we already discussed, got a crush and plans to marry the woman he met at the dentist office. And then one morning, mysteriously, Penguin's just appear in the neighborhood. Nobody knows why. Nobody knows where they came from, how they got there, where they're going, anything like that. It's just they managed to, start appearing. Then as it's kind of going on, he's determined his scientific and inquisitive side takes force, and he wants to figure out where they're going, find out more, what's happening and everything like that. And that's where the intellectual and the scientific approach really comes into play, because that is what he makes all those notebooks for. It's for research and discovery. It's to methodically catalog and do experiments and figure out the wonders of the world for him. What's unique for him.
And what I find really interesting is he keeps all those books.
Yes.
And multiple times throughout the movie, he goes, every day I want to learn something new. Every day I want to become a better man, so that when I become an adult, I'm the best that there is. I'm the best that can be. That's a fantastic mindset. It is, for lack of a better word, a successful mindset.
Yes.
And I know we're talking a lot about him, and for all intents and purposes, he is the main character. However, he's not the most impressive character, or in my personal opinion, the one that I wanted to follow. I wanted to follow the dentist everywhere. But you have dynamics like in each location, he assumes a different role, at least socially. In the classroom, he's bullied, but outside the classroom, he bullies the bully. So the fact that he's able to trick the bully into thinking, bully goes to the dentist to get his wisdom teeth pulled. He convinces the bully within one sentence that, he's going to die if he doesn't get all his teeth pulled, and that's why he's really there for. He starts freaking out. A bully wouldn't believe you, in my experience at least. They don't take your words into
to be fair,
account.
To be fair, yes, the reason why the bully believed him is because the reason why they bully him is because of his high intellect.
True.
So if you're bullying someone who's extremely intelligent, and then you have someone that's talking on a different mental and intellectual level, and you are there for something specific already, and he just happens to talk about something very specific without him actually engaging in the conversation, he just looks at him and goes, oh, you have this disease. This is what's going to end up happening. But I'm here only to get my wisdom teeth pulled. Oh, that's just a lie.
Yeah, that's what they tell you to get in here.
Yeah.
It was very convincing and very well done.
Yeah. But then that's the only time you ever really see him bully like that, because every time after that, he's always the victim of the bully. Like even outside of school and everything like that, they chase him down because of what had happened. They bully him for it and everything else. So it's not like he's always doing the bullying outside of school. He did it the one time to get even for his friend, and as a result, he got bullied even worse and tied to a vending machine.
Yeah, he did. And honestly, that was rather refreshing. I'm glad they didn't beat him up or nothing like that. But obviously, it's not that kind of movie. But to tie someone to a vending machine, and he's just like, all right, I probably should have started with this. I'm sorry. Are we good now?
Yeah.
His lack of awareness. Just, again, it reminds me of Sheldon, but like a worse version, you know? So, now that said, I find that the dentist lady to be very interesting, very complex of a character, because she recognizes that this kid's got a crush on her, but she doesn't necessarily dissuade it in its entirety. She doesn't she acknowledges that he feels this way, but she doesn't acknowledge the feelings themselves. So she still treats him like a kid to a certain extent, potentially up here, and helping him do research and
right.
As you would help like a younger brother. Oh, this is kind of cool. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's do some research on this.
Well, I feel like that's more so because she doesn't want to dissuade him from trying to learn and grow. But at the exact same time, I feel like she's not truly understanding herself too. And she's trying to come 100% to terms,
agree with that.
Come to terms with that at the exact same time. So I feel like she's kind of doing it as a test for herself to try and help figure herself out, figure out her own identity, so to speak, at the exact same time.
I don't know that I would agree with that statement for no other purpose, for no other reason than up until the time where the penguins start showing up, there wasn't really any need for her to question herself.
Well, you know what I mean? Don't know how long she's been there. We just know that she is a new addition to the area, a relatively new addition to on top of that. And
I thought that she...
And close to her being there when she showed up is when the penguins started appearing.
Yes. But I thought the penguins were appearing after she showed up.
They did.
For a while, because he already had a love interest in her.
Oh, it doesn't take long for a kid to fall in love with someone, and it's love at first sight most of the time.
Very true. Very, very true. But later in the movie, she mentions that she remembers her childhood. She remembers growing up in the town. She remembers this. She remembers that.
Well, she doesn't remember growing up in that town. She remembers growing up in a seaside town, not that town. Correct. They haven't been to that town or that seaside town. But then she also talks about how she doesn't know if those memories are real or fabricated. She doesn't know if they're really her memories or if they're just fake memories implanted.
By who? By what?
We don't
questions
know.
We never get answers to.
Exactly. She just brings up the questions, though. She's just like, I have no idea if I know who I am or if these memories are really mine or not. She knows nothing. She doesn't know anything. She's just kind of like, and she's always had... I feel like she's always had kind of like that sense, that feeling where she's been kind of there at the exact same time, but at the, you know, but then she's also kind of like, am I really supposed to be here? Am I really here? Are my memories really mine? At what point does she actually start questioning herself too?
Yeah. Well, I feel like she stopped really questioning herself so much and started just going with the flow when they discovered that she could create penguins out of soda cans. And I never quite understood exactly that happened.
Well, it's not specifically soda cans.
Anything, but
right.
Originally it was a full soda can.
Right. For the experiment and everything like that, it had to do with, and they do specifically state, if it's dark and gloomy and in a very dark area, she creates bats. Because she accidentally created bats. But if it's bright and sunshiny and happy and she's able to be radiant, she's able to create the penguins. And they were able to deduce this because when they tried recreating it, it was a cloudy and rainy day. And so they weren't able to do it.
So I know I'm jumping around, but I got to go back to the child and his father, the two smart people talking to each other, because I find this to be a very prevalent point in the movie. The boy keeps talking about the edge of space, the edge of the world, technically isn't, on a circular world, the edge is technically space, right? And the dad goes, well, take a look at this bag. Would you say this bag is, let's say this bag is the world. And he turns it inside out. He goes, see, now everything that was inside is outside. Do you understand? And he's like, not really. And the dad goes, well, just keep thinking about it. It's a really tough concept to understand. But once you do, everything will make a little bit more sense. And I think that was very pivotal because it kind of explained why there was no edge to his earth, his world, so to speak. And when the girl was able to bring magic, let's say, into his universe, his world.
But they didn't have that conversation till after the experiment with the penguins, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
So
yes, it didn't happen until a little bit after that.
Right. So that would have. So I don't understand the backtrack conversation that you were talking about.
Well, like, going backtrack like into the, because he was talking about the edge of space or the edge of the world and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's not backtracking. That's moving forward. Like he has this entire discussion with his dad after the fact.
Oh, then I have it jumbled. I thought that they had tried and didn't work, and then he went and talked to his dad, and then they tried again, and then it worked.
No, what happened was what caused him to have that correlation for the penguins, and what made it work was she had bats appear when it was dark and their lights were out and it was completely dark, and then it clicked for him. Well, she hated the dark and everything like that, and she accidentally made this when it was dark out, and then he remembered the conditions that they had for the day for when she did make it. It was bright and sunshiny, but when they were trying to do the experiment, it was overcast and not.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense then, I guess. Yeah, I don't know why that those two scenes jumped for me. Yeah.
I mean, it's a great conversation that he has with the dad, and it's very applicable, even no matter what, because it's like all, in other words, it's like a matter of perspective or how you view things. And, you know, you can take that particular conversation or what he's saying and just run with it in various different directions, have different viewpoints. And I'm positive that you and I can have very in-depth, very differing discussion on the meaning of that entire scene in its own way. We're not going to do that because neither one of us want to be here for the next 2 hours, but it could be done.
I was going to say, head me off at the pass. I see how it is.
Yep.
And we didn't even get to a good part. Like, well, we got to a few good parts so far, but like in my mind, this movie has three separate arcs. The first one is when the penguins are made. The second one is the experimentation. The third one is the ocean.
Or the sea, depending on the...
Oh, they called it the sea? Tomato, tomato. Depends which one you watch.
Yeah. So... But
yeah.
By all means.
All right. So the sea or the ocean in which they're referring is a bubble of water just floating. Getting bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller. And it seems, in my mind, to be the polar opposite of the penguins and this girl, the dentist chick. So they're connected in some fashion.
Well, he makes,
in my mind.
He makes that correlation that they're connected in some fashion too, and that there's a specific energy that they're going, which is where the whole edge of the universe and inside out type of mentality, edge of the world discussion really starts coming to play for him. Right. And it, as he thinks about it more, tries to correlate it more and put the pieces together. That's when it starts really, you know, the foundation really starts getting laid down, but also it's not him that discovers it. It's not, Ayoma that discovers it. It's sure. The girl. She the discovers
chess player
it.
Girl.
Yeah. Hamamoto. She discovers it. Smart.
Yes.
One that's roughly around the same age. She brings him there because she also has a very high intellect, and she also does the scientific method, and she's cataloging everything, taking detailed notes to figure it all out, to really understand what's going on.
Yeah. And I find that she's actually far smarter, in my opinion, because in order to keep people away from this area, she creates a urban legend, so to speak, of a silver moon that if you see it, you will fall in deathly ill.
Yes.
And so it keeps like most people away. And I thought that was genius because I mean, technically the ocean is a bubble. A perfect sphere floating in air. It looks like a silver moon if you catch it at a glimpse. So with that, oh no, I don't want to get sick. You'll run away from that, which I personally think is the smartest and best choice because if you get too close, it will stab you, I think.
Yes. Well, supposedly. I mean, like it sends out these little spikes,
I think.
But no one's obviously, well, maybe not, right? And the reason why I say maybe not, I think they're probably reaching out to grab and pull in. And the reason why I say that is because of her dad and the other scientists.
Okay. I can see that. That makes a lot. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. Initially, when you first see it, it's a spike that makes the whole bubble thing look like a mace.
Yes.
So yeah, the initial danger we saw might've just been, you know, feelers going out to ensnare its prey.
Yeah.
So
The yeah, whole method for them measuring it, taking their notes and everything like that, it's actually very well done. The detail orientation for them in general is also miraculous at the exact same time.
I would say so.
I'll tell you this right now. When I was their age, I sure as hell never kept detailed notes or was that artistic, I might add, in the least.
Bro, the only thing you and I ever did at that age was finding stabs to beat the crap out of each other with.
Technically, we were not stabbing each other. We were playing with our wood lightsabers. All right. So, all right. Or swords. I preferred to think of it as lightsabers and, you know, whatever. While I, the Jedi, all right, was fighting off the evil Sith, you, Rick. I'm just playing. I'm playing.
That would explain the lumps in my head still. we were playing rather than doing research.
Yeah, but for them, the closest thing to research, it is playing. Yeah,
I was gonna say the closest thing to research I ever did, and I still to this day can boast about it. I can make over 13 different styles of airplane that have a success rate of, if you throw it and the wind is decent, it'll fly for about 20 seconds on average. So that's my only boast, and I'm a huge nerd when it comes to folding airplanes.
Well, good for you.
Right around the time you keep hitting me in the head.
That's so point. Look.
Like, maybe it's your fault
that you're as smart as you are. Yeah, you're welcome. It took a lot of effort to knock some sense into you.
I was gonna say you beat the sense into me. But again, when it this is a whole secret that these children are allowed to keep or able to keep. I want to say for the better part of 100 days, because at the beginning of the movie, it's 3,888 days. At the end of the movie, it's 3,740. So you've got,
yeah, but roughly, we don't, what,
144 days.
Yeah, but we don't know how long that he's known about it. I mean, like, and how long she's known about it, right? Relatively speaking.
Well, I'm giving him like a 40-day grace period, because it would be a lot to happen
in
a shorter amount of time than that.
I'll give her the 40-day grace period. I'll give him a 50-day, a 90-day grace period.
Okay, so you think that
she knew about it
50 days before him?
Yes.
Roughly.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. It's enough time to start the rumor.
Yep.
So that makes sense. Yeah, I like that. That's a decent enough thing. But and then you find out that the penguins that our dear dentist lady is creating cancels out the ocean.
Yeah,
almost completely. But we really didn't find out if creating penguins as much as she does is a draw on her, or if she has an ability that refreshes itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and there is a scene where it's nighttime and she's exhausted, and he actually hypothesizes that, are you tired because you made so many penguins and you used up all your mystical powers, or are you tired just because it's late? And we kind of get the answer that it's because of that she spent the powers, because she was like, yeah, after midnight the city goes asleep and it's awesome, and she's passing out, and it's well before midnight when this is all happening,
right? Well,
so
I mean, like, sometimes dude, you know, you just gotta pass out because you're tired. You don't have to be spending mystical powers for that. Sometimes you're just like exhausted, especially dealing with a 10-year-old know-it-all.
Very true, but that's not how they listed it here.
Well, maybe she didn't want to be mean and hurtful to the kid.
Maybe, but we'll never know.
That is 100% true. We will never know. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we have enough answers. But what I thought was really awesome, that was the penguin, the little measuring device. It's fully functioning in the sense of it works for what they need it to. And it's factually accurate. If you wanted to build it, you could with everyday objects. And they used Legos, a thermometer, a flashlight, and some string. And it looks so cool.
Right.
It looked durable, which was surprising to me.
Right. To clarify, they made a device out of Legos with those said materials and used it in their experimentation to help measure and figure out the sea or the ocean orb floating there.
Granted, I appreciate the fact that you clarified, because it didn't occur to me that I should.
Yeah. It took me a second to figure out what you were talking about, too. So that's why I added the clarification. They threw it at the orb that's floating there. It ends up getting sucked into it, and they had it on some string, and the force at which it was pulling even the string was dragging them along, and he finally let go, and poof, the string was gone, the thing was gone, and no one knows what happened to it.
That's usually how it goes.
Oh. But they do have other beasts that end up starting to show up, and they do start attacking and eating the penguins, and they're kind of like a hybrid between a animal, seal, human, something else. It's like I forget, what did they call it? They called it what was it? Something weird.
Yeah. I confess I don't know, because I didn't pay attention to that particular naming scheme. If you put it in front of me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's totally what it is. But I, for life, can't remember what it was. But I thought, in my mind, the ocean was sending these things out to go eat her, not her penguins. Even though they did go after the penguins. But because she was the originator of that, the power of frequency, I figured they were all looking for her, you know? Because when she gets, I don't know, sick or something, when she got close to the ocean, something happened where...
To clarify, she did not get close to the ocean. She got far away from the floating orb. And the same thing that happened to the penguin, too. When the penguin, they were taking them to an area, and when they got to the exact same distance that she got off the train with, when they got the distance with that penguin that she created from the Sona can, got too far away from the source, from that orb, it just reverted back to its normal form.
So it was a proximity to her.
Or that orb.
So did we ever find out where these powers come from? Was it the orb or was it her?
Came from the power of plot.
Fair enough. No, the power of plot was that river. That was the power of plot. It didn't start, it didn't end, it just was.
No, they even said that was a very strange thing, but it intersected at that orb.
It intersected, but it didn't start or stop.
Oh, but you can only hypothesize and theorize and everything else. And theorize. All there with it. All right. You know nothing. I know nothing. We got no answers. We just know that it was there.
Do you remember way back in the day? It was Tuesday, I'm sure, where I borrowed a PlayStation 1 from you.
Yes.
Along with Final Fantasy X.
No, PlayStation 1 was not on Final Fantasy.
That was PlayStation 2.
Yes.
Jeez.
Sacrilege coming out of your damn mouth. You're talking about Final Fantasy 8. It was 7. No, it wasn't 7. It was 8.
Which one was the one with the lamp that if you opened on the first disc,
eight.
You'd die?
I just said it twice. 8. You borrowed 8. I told you. 8. You didn't. You never played 7. And 9 you never played. You played 8 and 10. And 10, fair, 2... Fair. No, you didn't play 10-2.
No, we don't talk about 10-2. Yeah, 10-2, I played. I don't like it. Anyway, Titus. I played that game...
No.
...for years. Dude. It wasn't Titus?
Not for Final Fantasy VIII?
No, 10.
Okay, well, you said when you borrowed Final...
Sorry.
Bro, I will slap you. I will send a fleet of penguins over there to attack you, all right?
So you got me hooked on Final Fantasy when it came on 8 with PlayStation 1. PlayStation 2 with Final Fantasy 10 with Titus, I bought myself.
Yes.
Now, granted, I didn't have the Lost Chronicles, Lost Chapters, whatever it was. I didn't have the expansion pack on it, but I played
there
that
for hours. There was no expansion pack
days.
On it, bro.
There wasn't?
We're done talking about games. You're a horrible person.
No, hold
you're
on.
A horrible hold on. Individual. A
horrible
no.
person.
You are a horrible individual.
I got a point.
Point you this. Don't. You're butchering the games and trying to fabricate a fake point. No, I refuse. I refuse.
Uh-huh.
I refuse. This is not
accurate.
Right. Says the man who's like, when I borrowed PlayStation 1 and played Final Fantasy 10 with Squall and Titus right there, and we had the DLC pack on with the Squall interwebs.
And Titus. Ugh.
Right.
Why you gotta hurt my feelings like that? Anyway, I played this game for damn near a few years, never finished it. And then you happened to tell me that, oh yeah, the main character, not real. A dream of a dream. I was like, that's not possible. And then I beat it and I felt so empty. Like, good. What the fuck? Like, seriously, this is bullshit.
I'm happy. I'm happy you felt empty. I'm sure because of that horrible butchering you just did. I am glad you feel empty. Mm-hmm. How dare you, sacrilegious fool.
Complete and utter side note. If they made a game specifically focused around Jackball, I'd play it. I'd buy it just to play that.
No, you wouldn't, awesome because game. There was no game called that.
Blitzball. Blitzball. Whatever.
Jeez, you know what, dude? I'm telling you. God, you know what, man? I don't know you anymore. I don't know you anymore, man. You're dead to me. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, let's just end this now. End my pain and suffering now. Jeez. Oh, my God. Just,
Well, you can't call it a blitzball. You got to call it jackball from now on.
No, I refuse.
Anyway.
No, there's a lot more that goes on in the movie. A lot of it's kind of like end game style stuff. And the reason why you were bringing up, I understand why, is because ultimately that's what ends up happening. We don't know if she was real or not. Well, I mean, like, we know she was real, but
she doesn't even know if she was real. She just did some fucking peers, and you're like,
bro, the language out of your mouth sometimes, like, Jesus criminy.
Save yourself on that one. No, I just it felt very disingenuous.
Yeah.
I went on this whole path with these characters only to find out that maybe I didn't.
Right.
Maybe I hallucinated. Maybe they hallucinated.
Maybe. You don't know. We don't know.
It felt very empty. It reminded me heavily of that.
Good.
Good.
I'm glad you felt empty.
You're just mad because my memories were incorrect and it offended your sensibilities.
I mean, like, that, I'm not the only person that offends. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
Ah, you're the only person listening right now.
Well, we don't know that for sure. But you know what?
This is true. This is true. At time of recording, I don't see anybody in the comment section blowing me up. So
true. Anyone that's truly worth their weight in salt, anyways, is not gonna openly refute you publicly, other than me.
Publicly. Oh, goodness. Yeah. No, I mean, it's overall, the movie wasn't bad. Good.
Oh, and CJ in our chat also cough wants to also refute you.
I don't know. I just see the cough. I don't see any refuting. He's on my side on this one. That said, the movie wasn't bad. It had decent visuals. The story was unique. I'll give it that. I didn't really notice any music. Did
it was
you?
There. Yeah, it was there.
Like, it wasn't prominent for me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, it helped move. It helped move the story along, but it didn't.
It wasn't the focal point.
Yeah. It wasn't. It wasn't prominent enough that I was like, "Ooh, nice." I felt like the movie didn't really have. It's not necessarily a purpose, but it didn't have a crescendo. You know what I mean? It didn't have a bursting climax where everything comes together. And you're like, oh, that's perfect. That makes sense. It left a lot of open holes for me.
It was talking about, beautiful, what's the word called? Moral.
What was the moral?
The moral of having your priority straight for opas.
Can't be doing that to me mid-drink, bro. Yeah.
Oh god.
I mean, it was, assuming you don't get too attached to any of the characters, it's a great show. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And the way that they left it kind of open-ended, where he runs out to the middle of the field and finds his machine we were talking about earlier, the Lego, the penguin ship.
Right, right.
The Lego thing, that he finds that, and he's like, I'm going to find her one day.
You know what? He's a kid. Pure and simple. He's a kid. We can only hope he grows out of it, all right?
So what you're telling me is you want him to grow out of the Opa phase. Got it.
No, out of the dumb phase. I mean,
fair enough.
We're talking about a fantasy movie where they have a floating ball of water and penguins inside that floating ball of water start flying.
Yeah.
So I can only assume he will eventually. There are some things boys grow out of. That phase, you never grow out of it. The the stupidity phase, most of the time you never grow out of it.
I was just saying, we're still there.
Hey.
Oh, man.
I grew out of it a little bit. All right. Give me some credit. Mm-hmm. All right.
You still got your membership. You pay your monthly dues.
Hey, there's no point in burning bridges, all right?
That's fair. God.
All right, man.
Well, I hate to say it. I don't have too much more.
Neither do I. So I think this is a great spot for a rating, sir. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate this?
With the exception of that twist at the end, I loved it. But because of that twist and the emotions it brought back from Final Fantasy,
Which one would that be, sir?
7. So, yeah, with the Waka shot, you know? Your facial expression is perfect.
Yes.
For those of you listening, it's just horror.
No, it's pain is what it is. I'm just purely pained.
It's Final Fantasy X. I played it for so long. I was attached to so many characters. Only to find out that it was meaningless for me to do any of that.
But your rating.
Here, sorry. I was just explaining. Here,
so are you saying you're giving it a 10? Is that what you're saying?
I'm giving it a 3.
At least someone's here for me. All right. Thanks, CJ. So you're giving it a 3?
I'm giving it a 3, yes.
Okay. I mean, like, that's funny that you're giving it a 3 when you're saying you love the movie. It was so great, and you had a lot of positive to say about it.
I did. It's like a meal that you have, and you're like, this is amazing. This is a fantastic meal. Mm-hmm. And then they finish it off with, like, kale or some crap like that. And you're like,
kale's well, now
healthy. My palate
kale's healthy, really,
but doesn't taste good.
Tastes fine. I have it in solids.
To me.
Okay, well, that you can't this is say...
Why you're, bro, you're a third of me, okay? Of course you eat kale.
Man. Yeah, that's yeah. CJ in our chat says, good Lord, dude, loved the movie, then gave it a 3. Not enough TNA.
Well, I mean, there was a severe lack of the beach scene. But the ending for me ruined everything that I found good about it. So, like, the last taste in my mouth is not nothing higher than a 3. I would not watch it again. I would not offer someone else. I wouldn't show this to somebody else.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it's, honestly, I'm shocked. I mean, like, you had so much positive to say about it, and then you're like, I give this a 3. It's trash.
The ending. That's what killed it for me.
That's fine. No, hey, you know what? I'm just saying, like, if I give something a 3... I don't have to. I'm going to give it a 7. And the reason why I'm giving it a 7 is because I like the artwork. It was the colors, the scenery was fine. The music didn't detract from it. It was there, but it wasn't overwhelming. It was nicely done. Didn't like the ending. The ending was just kind of eh for me. I feel like the penguins were a nice change of pace from like the normal. Like, oh, we have a mystical power type thing or whatever it is. The penguins being there, I feel like, are great. You know, it's out of the norm. You know, and you have a completely different approach and viewpoint from the normal what we have. We have a kid that's a kid, but stupidly intelligent, right? We're crazy smart.
Yeah.
And you have representations of the scientific method and being able to test and theorize and figure things out, documentation and being able to accurately go through that. And then you have the self growth and trying to figure out everything on top of it. So I thought it was a really good movie. Did not like I did not like the ending. The kid still annoyed me, which is why I'm still giving it a 7. But overall, I felt like it was very well done. So I'm giving it a 7.
Okay. I mean, agree to disagree on this one. Like, you have all valid points, with the exception of that ending. Just, it felt way worse to me than how good everything else felt.
The ending was was kind of like when they started talking about, oh, I'm not sure who I am. I don't know if my memories are really my memories or this and that.
Oh, yeah. It was, you see it from a mile away.
Right. And so my personal opinion on her being there, she was specifically created to integrate with society and the people around her. So that way she could plug and conceal the ripple in space and time, kind of the world writing itself, the universe fixing its own problems. Okay. Like she is the white blood cell fighting off an infection.
Okay. I can see that. Doesn't make me any closer to a 4, but I can see that.
Yeah, no, but so, next week we are going to be watching another movie. Right. If you listen to the pre-show, you will have heard why we're doing cranking out a lot of movies right now. But this one's going to be called Metal Skin Panic Maddox 01.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. I know nothing about it, too. But I do know that it's an older one. It came out in 1985, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Probably roughly
what,
around
what
there.
What was it again?
1985.
No, the name of it.
It's in the show notes. It's on the calendar. Thank it's God. Everywhere. All right.
Okay.
like
metal supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. All right. and on that wonderful note, if you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, just plain old, we're ridiculous and grotesque and everything else, you know, feel free to let us know. You can contact us and all that other wonderful stuff on our website. You can go there, featuredanimepodcast.com. All our links and everything like that's there. If you want to hear the pre and post show that we usually do with every episode, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you want to buy the movie that we talked about today, we do have the affiliate link for you in the show note. If you click on that link, purchase anything, the movie or anything like that, we do get a little bit of a kickback and it is very much appreciated. And if you want to buy some swanky swag that is ours that we put out there ourselves, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.